It's time for the thirstiest podcast on the net. You're now listening to Thirst World Problems with your host, Nick Dougal, along with Mr. Bell and the Doc.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Thirst World Problems. Today, we've got Eddie Cisneros. Did I say that right?
That's it. That's correct. Yep.
All right. Who's joining us? He's written a couple books. He's got some nice experiences for us. He's from New York.
First of all, very special guest, right?
Very special.
Very special, very since special. He's, it's almost the end of 2017.
Nice.
Last guest
he
of
did
the
not,
year.
He didn't have to do this, but, you know, he's making...
he's here.
He's here, man. And we're very honored for this.
Guest of the year.
Last guest of the year.
Let's cheers to that. Thank you, Eddie. Thanks for making time in the holidays.
Cheers to that.
What is this? What is this before we take this, man? You gotta let me know. I don't know what's in here.
This is not good. Let's continue on, though. What was that? What was in there?
It was like orangey, yeah?
Yeah, there was some little OJ in there, vodka, a little gin.
It's a little mix of everything, I guess, right?
There you go, man.
Kind of like New York,
yeah? Mix of what's left in the cupboard there.
That should be our New York shot, little mix of everything.
All right, clear it out.
All right.
So, Eddie, New York's got a reputation for being just like having some like mean characters or being unfriendly anyways, right?
Yeah, I guess so. We do get the bad rap. It's weird because... I recently was out like in San Antonio, and I've traveled out to North Carolina, and it's just like everyone is just so polite over there. So it's crazy because you're not used to that, man. And so it's like, yeah, we get the bad rap. Everyone's always on edge. Everyone has an attitude. I mean, they give you attitude when you ask someone for the time around here sometimes.
So can you give us a mean New York story?
Oh, geez, a mean New York story. There are several. I mean, it depends on what levels. I mean, you just, like I said, you got a lot of people that just sometimes are just, I guess, just flat out rude. I mean, you know, it's like I said, everyone, for some reason, they're in a hurry to get to the corner store, you know?
How about something you've been involved with?
You know, it's weird because I work, apart from trying to get my book out, I work as a doorman. So I'm in a residential building. And I mean, I've seen tumultuous stories of just people, just the way they act, stuff they say. One particular story that I remember is I had this one particular lady in my building, and for whatever reason, I worked the night shift, so she's constantly just always wanting to talk to me and just telling me these stuff that I'm like basically looking at my watch, like, you know, I just want to get the hell out of there. I want to go home. And she's going on and about this story about how back in the days when she was younger, she lived out in Harlem or what was called, what's called like the barrio for us, and, you know, in Spanish. Mm. And so she's going on and telling me how she remembers there was a Spanish family that lived across the street, and the father was always a hard worker. And again, I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, yo, I just want to get the hell out of here. And she's going on. And then she says, and I remember they had two daughters, and I they were always pregnant, so I know they were Puerto Rican. And I was like, So I was like, you know, so she's going on with that story. And that last bit kind of just, it took a while for me to register. And I'm like, what? You know, I couldn't even believe what I just heard. And she said it so nonchalant. So I guess it's just, you know, it's just the character and the nature of certain people, man.
And that's just one of those things where you have to keep your cool regardless of like what craziness someone says to you, right?
Yeah, pretty much, man.
Have you lived? You've lived in Queens all your life, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I was born in Brooklyn for like half a year, and then that was it. I was moved to Queens, and I've been here ever since.
So, like, from throughout the years that you've lived there, like, I'm assuming you've seen such an evolution, changing throughout the neighborhood from I guess like music standpoint to even just culturally. Like, I'm pretty sure you've seen a lot of change. Like, what's one thing that you've noticed a big change for you there?
Living here, it's, you know what, I think I, it's the types of people, I guess. I mean, I've seen a lot of like influence. You had a lot of Italian families back in the days, and then you had a lot of Spanish families. Mm-hmm. And now it shifts from time to time, like every 6-7 years or so, it just kind of shifts So I think that's one of the biggest things. You see a lot of certain races and stuff like that. They all move out and other ones come in. But, you know, you do what you got to do, man.
So who's your who's your favorite rapper out of New York?
Rapper out of New York, man. I don't know. I'm kind of old school. I would say 50 Cent. I like 50 Cent. Yeah. But like I said, I'm old school. Back in the days, listening to guys like Mobb Deep and Nas and stuff like that. That's definitely someone that represents Queens. So
it's ridiculous how many legendary names just come out of New York when you mention rap. Like, it's just it's the mecca
Definitely.
It's ridiculous.
And you know, it's weird because you got to, like I said, being from Queens, a lot of people will always argue, people from the Bronx will argue, you know, that theirs were pretty much when hip-hop started. But the Bronx has some heavyweights over there also, so.
Well, speaking of New York rappers, like, have you guys heard about Jay-Z's newest thing here right now?
That new music video he did, right?
Family
Feud?
Nope,
I haven't heard about this.
Okay, so basically, it's like him going to, like, church, going to, like, confessional, and Beyonce's priest or whatever. Like, he's confessing to Beyonce all his sins and stuff. He's walking in there of like Blue Ivy. And so it's like a whole family affair of basically him coming clean on air, like in front of everyone. Like,
what do you mean coming clean?
About like the whole affair and cheating on Beyonce.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of thing.
Shit, he was on his album about?
Everything, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Like, just super crazy, super deep. And I'm just like, could you imagine, first of all, like, imagine you had your indiscretion and then, like, someone finds out about that. And, like, just your indiscretion, like, having to come clean to, like, your family, your friends, or whatever it is. But now you got a guy like this who's got to come clean to, like, the entire world and do shit like this where he's got to, I don't know, man. It seemed extreme to me, man.
I think a true New Yorker would. Sorry, say that again, Eddie.
That's just people with money. You know, if I try to pull off that shit, forget it.
That's exactly it.
I was gonna say a true New Yorker would deny it till the day they die.
It wasn't me.
There we go. Right.
Look at that. Like, I don't know. Like, you really think that you could come clean with something like that in front of, like, everybody?
Well, think about the video, right? Like, you have guys like Michael B. Jordan in it. Hey, I'm gonna put you in this video of me confessing that I messed up.
Well, that's the other thing.
I'm in.
well, that's the other thing. Like, it's super star-studded too. Yeah. So, like I'm wondering.
They kind of want to dilute it, right?
Well, first of all, now I'm even wondering if this even happened, if it was just a publicity stunt, man.
For sure, man.
Like,
everything's a publicity stunt.
You're not gonna get. You're supposed to be doing this thing, and it's supposed to be like honest and soulful and coming from the heart. And you're including, like you said, you're including just a bunch of different actors and actresses in this thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it just seems like a stunt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes off like that. But again, I think it's with money, man. Years ago, when Kobe Bryant got caught out there?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's such a big celebrity that, you know, he apologized to his wife, and then he puts some ridiculous like $10 million ring on her thing, and of course she stays with him. What, are you kidding me?
Then he dropped 81 points. For sure, he's not guilty, man.
Exactly. That's right. And he messed with some like plain Jane chick from like Colorado or something like that.
Is there such a thing as a good looking person from Colorado? I don't know, man.
Please send your pics in Thirst World Pod.
Send your pics in.
Send your pics in, Colorado girls, Thirst World Probs. We need to know. Eddie wants to know too. Eddie, let's talk about how many books have you published?
Right now I'm working on the one that I have. I've written a couple of stuff. I have some screenplays and stuff like that. But the main published book that I have right now, it's called Hispanicus, The Apostate Life of Antonio Pintero.
Wow, that's pretty deep. That's a deep intro.
B, did you get the title of that book? You want to just read that back for us?
You read it back to me.
Can you say that title one more time?
It's pretty lengthy.
One more time?
It's a Hispanicus, The Apostate Life of Antonio Pintero.
Antonio Pintero. Hispanicus, The Apostate Life of Antonio Pintero. I got it.
I got it. I think I'm still lost.
No, I got it, man. So, like, maybe give us a little breakdown of this book without kind of ruining it here.
Sure. It's going to be a series. The first one dropped. Came out in August. The second one should be coming out sometime, hopefully, in for the new year, maybe middle January, if not middle February. And basically, it's a fictional story about this drug dealer from the Bronx who, as an adult, he's retelling his life story. And he's kind of gotten to a point where he wants to make, he's, I guess, a change of heart. and he's trying to right certain things wrong before something bad happens to him.
Wow, that's very nice. How long does something like that take when you, you know, decide to write and, you know, it just comes off the mind?
You know what? Working on this one, it took several years. I mean, piecing stuff together. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, you know, it's the whole writing process is so lengthy. I mean, between writing and then you rewriting and going back and forth and changing stuff. And then basically that has nothing even to do once you finish it and start trying to pitch it. So it takes several years.
And is the book out already?
Yes, it is, actually. It's available on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble online, and through my, I guess, directly through my publisher, which is PrintHouseBooks.com.
So I can get this on Amazon Prime, get it in 2 days?
I hope so, yeah. If they do what they say they're supposed to do, yeah.
They haven't failed me yet.
So where'd you get the inspiration for this book?
Exactly what I was thinking.
You know, it's funny because, again, like, you know, and I stress to everyone because a lot of people have asked me, you know, I guess when they read the book that it's very, you know, it's that visual. So a lot of people kind of like always hinting at me, you know, so tell us, you know, how'd you come about, you know, how you do this? And I guess they're trying to hint at whether or not it's something real. And basically, you know, it's not an autobiography at all. Definitely not. It is a fictional story. But I mean, I guess one of the one things that have always stuck with me when I was taking some writing classes years ago was, a lot of times, you know, your best writing comes from what you know. So granted, with that, bundled with my imagination like that, I created this story and stuff like that. But, you know, I kind of like take little bits and pieces of people that I grew up with and stuff like that. But by no means is it based on actual facts and someone that I know, somebody that lives next door or something like that.
Oh, good. That's a good good disclaimer to get out there right away.
Right? So,
like, how many
names have been changed? I'm trying to protect.
How many phone calls did you get from the old crew? We're just being like, hey, man.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for somebody to call me one day. Like, why are you talking shit, man?
So, how about your day to day job? Does that kind of give you some insight? And because obviously you see many people daily, you probably talk to a lot of people, right? Maybe you're initiating it, maybe they are. Are there certain things there that you use for inspiration that you see day to day that help you do something like writing, for example?
Well, you know, the funny thing with that is that, again, I mean, I do work as a doorman, and I did actually write a book, and I used to write for a real estate website, which I went under the pseudonym of Open the Door -Man, which, you know, now it's no secret. But and basically what I did was I was writing stories coming from the side of a doorman, what we see. And I ended up writing a book about that, which is called Opening Doors, A New York City Doorman's Secrets and Stories. And these are actual stories that have happened at my job in the last 20-something years that I've worked there. But again, I've changed names. And, you know, it is what it is. I used to kind of hide it. I used to hide it and stuff like that. But, you know, it's out the bag now. I
mean, okay. Is there, get a sample. Can you give us a sample story here?
A sample story?
Just to get the palette wet.
Because I'm interested in that right now.
In general, I guess, you know, I've always said that, you know, that kind of job, it entails, we're like the proverbial three monkeys. See no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. So I've had literally people like, you know, a girlfriend's out of town, her boyfriend comes in with two other guys and some other chick and paying me off, telling me basically I didn't see anything. You know, stuff like that. Years ago, I had this dealer, if you want to say, and I kind of hooked up with him and did my own thing. I kind of sold certain things out of my back closet, and, you know, people would come up to me asking me for dry cleaning, and it was really asking for something else.
Like working as like working as a doorman type thing, like at the same time.
Yes, definitely.
Oh man.
Yes.
Did they pay you though?
In my suit, yes, in my suit and everything. Man.
Exclusives right there again on the Thirst World Pod.
Did they pay you good on the side?
Yeah, I mean, I did all right. It was just like I said, I mean, you know, when I started doing stuff like that, I was young. I was still in my 20s and stuff like that. But again, I mean, you know, that kind of a job, forget it. I mean,
he's like, it's way better now.
Yeah, the stuff that I've seen, I mean, the stuff that I've heard, I mean, and again, it's you hear, Kong, you know, a lot of stuff like that. And a lot of times you just gotta, you know, if I hear comments and stuff like that, I mean, I'm at a point where I just let, you know, stuff like that just roll off my shoulder now. I mean, it's like, you know, it is what it is, man. But, you know, being in that kind of a position, I've always explained to people, like, whereas on the outside world, you know, someone knows someone as Dr. Johnson, let's just say, when they come home, you know, even though he does have that title, I know him as Bill or something like that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's
exactly,
like,
yeah.
I know these people on a personal level, and they divulge certain stuff with you, they talk with you, and they confide in you, but, you know.
So how's a conversation like that go to 19, 20, whatever you were when you were saying, and how does that person approach you or try to get you to do that? Is it something that you easily kind of were like, okay, yeah, whatever, it'll be easy money on the side, or were you kind of like, hey, you know, I don't really want to do this type thing, and then they kind of showed you what you can, like, how does that conversation go?
Well, with the one particular person, like I said, in the book, I basically described as just a pusher man, and it was, again, I was working part-time nights, and with this particular gentleman, I mean, it was just always every day, there was just always so many different characters coming in, and they had these weird names, like, you know, people like Captain Howdy and this and that, you know, it's just weird names, and the things that you knew, they would come in, and then they would leave with duffel bags, or sometimes they would leave at the desk an envelope, and, you know, to give this to you know, to push a man, and it was just a stack of bills inside an envelope and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, again, I'm working part time, I'm trying to make ends meet, and, you know, just one day I just kind of approached him, and I was like, listen,
oh,
man,
there you go.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, I had known him for so many years now, so I was just like, listen, you know, I need to make a little extra money, you know, what can I do? And he looked at me, and he didn't say a word to me, he just left, and I was like, oh fuck, I think I messed this up, man. And sure enough, he comes downstairs, he knocks on my door, and he gives me a little like half ounce of some good stuff there. And I took it home. And all I don't remember was that, you know, I tell people a story that I tried it just to see what it was about. And my wife found me the next morning in my underwear on my legs draped over the couch. So I was messed.
You were feeling it. You were feeling it.
Yeah, man. I knew it was good stuff, man.
Wait, is that the only reason you agreed to help this guy out? Is because you realized that the product was so nice? Like, were you a discerning customer?
He was behind the product, man.
Right? Yeah, something you could believe,
you know,
in?
Yeah, like I said, I know he had some good stuff. I mean, with all the people walking in and out, I mean, I'm pretty sure. But he kept it cool. I mean, he never really did much business as far as where I worked. He always kept another apartment, which later on, again, when I started doing that kind of stuff, I mean, you know, he kind of confided with me and took me to his other apartment, and there's where the real deal was. I mean, it was like, you know, it was like a movie or something like that. So I kind of, you know, those little stuff like that, I guess, helped, you know, for my book when I'm writing, man.
So I guess just as interesting as how you got in, man, like how do you back out of something like that? Because, I mean, any one of us could probably scroll through their phones and there's some questionable characters or people who've got some things in their past there. And a lot of times it's hard to get out of that smack.
Speak for yourself, man.
I talked about your name in my phone.
No, quick and easy, man. I was working part-time, and the full-time guy ends up calling me one day. It was like middle of the week, and he tells me, yo, did you hear what happened? I'm like, no, man, what's going on? He was like, we had cops run into the building. We had DEA. It was all kinds of agencies. Wow. I mean, everyone from anyone came up there, and yeah, he ended up, you know, my friend ended up getting knocked up. So that's pretty much it, man. Like, the business that I thought I was gonna, you know, become this big big time man or something like that lasted for like 2 months.
Did you, like, at the time, did you think like, oh, did I say something? Like, did I say something wrong to somebody? Did I slip that out, or? Like, were you paranoid or anything?
I know, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I guess, you know, to me, it was, I guess he was just pretty much that big that I kind of actually was getting a little nervous because, you know, you think, you know, stuff like that when you do those, you know, you're dealing those kind of drugs and stuff like that. If they are watching you, I'm pretty sure that, you know, they don't jump on you immediately. They let you do what you got to do. So I was kind of getting nervous because I know he kept books, and I'm pretty sure he kept books of people, you know, money that people owed him. I'm pretty sure I was in that book, so I was just more concerned, like, oh, man, damn, I'm a part-time doorman. I'm going to get busted now.
Nice, nice.
So when he got pinched and your buddy's telling you this on the phone, like, aren't you worried that that this guy's going to drop names, or the DEA might have some more information on, like...
Well, that's what it was. Like I said, I was nervous because I was like, man, yo, I'm like, you know, this is my job, man. I'm trying to make some money here, and it's going to be embarrassing. I'm going to go to work one day and cops are going to pull me out of the lobby or something in handcuffs, man. But But the main guy, man, he was pretty stand up, man. He was a pro, I guess, at it. So, you know, he did what he had to do. They locked him up, and it was weird. I saw him like a couple of years later on, and he walked by the building like nothing, man. So,
did he say what's up or what?
Yeah, we talked for a few and stuff like that, but you know, we kept it on pretty PC type conversation. We didn't really divulge anything like that, and that was it, man.
Fair enough, man.
You mentioned that you wrote a few screenplays. Anything that you can, give us some info on that?
Sure. I mean, it was actually two screenplays that I wrote. I was been trying to like push them here and there, but nothing ever came out of it. Mm-hmm. Both actually, it's called Ben, and then it was Ben 2, is a sequel. It's pretty much about these detectives, New York City homicide detective, trying to track down a serial killer in New York.
Those are probably my favorite type of movies. Like, I love like homicide stuff. I love, like, if it's a movie or a show, like,
those we're getting it. We're getting it right from the source right now.
I'm all in. If you can get the green light on that, I'm all in.
You like cop movies?
I like homicide movies. Like, I like stuff like that. Yeah. You know, just something like you try to figure out, like...
What's wrong with you, man?
What do you mean? It's New York. That's how it is, man. No, like, I like movies like that. Like, they should make more homicide
movies. They're interesting, right? There's, like, fear and, like...
Whatever, it makes you think, right? Yeah. Like, it makes you think what goes on with these people that, you know, who's behind all this.
They're not lying, right?
I can see that. They're not lying.
Yeah, there's a reason behind it, right? Well, and so then
there's always been a fascination. I mean, you know, stuff like that. I once read, there was like this quote, and it was pretty cool because it stuck with me. It was like a fear or a belief in a supernatural force of evil isn't necessary, for man alone is quite capable of every wickedness. And I guess when you look at that aspect, man, mentally, I think people are just, they have the capacity to do so much, man, and it's pretty scary.
Like one person, exactly. Like one person has, they don't realize how much
good or evil, right?
Good or big difference, good or evil that someone can do, right? For example, like look at the Vegas shooting, right? That's one person doing all that.
It's one person. It's say 50 people are hurt. It's five family members. It's, you know, five cousins branching off.
It expands, just keeps going. Right?
It's one person, and that you might have affected 5,000 plus people in that one attack, right? Plus, psychologically, around the world, you're looking at people. It's crazy.
Or even vice versa, right? Like you do one good thing for that one person, that expands to everything else.
Can you can we get that quote one more time on here? I want to hear that one more time.
I believe that's the way it went. It was a belief in a supernatural source of evil isn't quite necessary for man alone. A belief in a supernatural source of evil isn't necessary for man alone is quite capable of every wickedness.
Oh, man.
Eddie, if you ever get the green light, I just want one role. I don't care if it's small or big. I just want to be part of it.
Just even a walk-on, right?
I just want to walk on. Yeah, give me.
What would your ideal role be in a movie?
Me? I don't know, man. My wife's always said that I have this look like I could play a bad guy, but I'd be like those typical bad guys, like you know, they're like the henchmen that work for like the main bad guy, and they never say anything, and then when the guy's like kicking ass and everything, I'll crack my knuckles and act like I'm gonna do something, and I'll probably get slapped up real quick. That'll be my claim to fame in the movie. You know what I'm saying?
What about you, Nick? What would a role be for you?
I think I would like to be, depends on, are we talking about this movie? Ben?
Just put yourself in like a role that you'd like to play.
I feel like I would, I'd probably be like just a silly dude, like that no one takes seriously, but I look very serious. I think that's what
it would be. The stoner.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be that. There you go.
Like Brad Pitt in True Romance.
Yeah, there you go. But hey, man, if we ever get a role in this movie here, I think I could pull it off.
What about you, B? What would you be? What like, role would you like to play?
For anything?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Probably some kind of criminal or something, to be honest. Like, that's not something you really like. Get to live, right?
You look too
like,
nice to be a criminal.
Well, that's why it's a role in the movie, right?
He wants to step outside of his comfort zone.
That's why it's fantasy, right?
But still, it's not believable. You gotta believe it.
Okay, so what would you believe?
Need to believe it.
You'd be a good cab driver. You'd be a good cab driver.
I'll do it. NYC, put me in those lights.
No, I didn't say NYC.
Put me in the lights. All I got to say, put me in the lights.
Like an Uber driver. No, you're not.
Put me in the lights, NYC. Put me in the lights.
You're not cable doing cab. Uber driver, man. Your own vehicle.
What are you saying about Uber drivers?
I'm just saying it's your own vehicle, you know.
They're people too, man.
Sure they are.
You're the real criminal here, man.
Yeah, that's why I'm perfect for the role. What else we got here? What else do we got here, Bell? Do we got questions for the man?
We've always got a few questions, but let's get into a Thirst World trademark question here.
Okay.
Eddie, we need a drunken story from you, Eddie. You must have a few of those.
Oh, definitely. I think one that always stands out, man, and it wasn't my highest point in life there. I think had a friend's house, got trashed. I don't know what the hell happened, but basically I got home, and then, you know, it's messed up because when you're drinking and stuff like that, and the ride home, you're fine. When you get home, that's when everything just starts to spin.
Once you get on your bed, and, you're done.
Yeah, I'm in my bed and stuff like that, and at that point, I know there was like this dress up. It's actually it's for my wife. middle of the night, I had to wake up. I mean, I had to throw up. I mean, it was just a wrap. So I proceeded to just sit at the edge of the bed, and I pulled the dresser out and had a drawer with panties and bras and stuff.
No.
Yeah. No, but listen, let me tell you something. For someone that was drunk,
is that how you feel about her panties?
I threw everything out of it. I threw all stuff out. So I, you know, as drunk as I was still weary of what the hell I was doing. And then I just proceeded to throw up in the drawer and I put it back.
Did you wash them after, or did you like?
No, man.
Well, when you woke up, when you were proper, like, did you think about that, or were you just like, okay, whatever?
Were you able to clean it up before she found out?
Exactly. That's the.
No. I mean, when this is going on, I literally remember her in the background and she's screaming, "What the fuck?"
Oh.
So that wasn't a good point in my life, man.
You did this on purpose. You could have done this in my sock drawer.
Or one of his own drawers.
Right? Like, no, he's not going to throw
it. I think she was more pissed off at that. Like, you know, why couldn't you just do it, you know, with one of your own shit there, man?
I'm trying to ruin my own shit.
That's right, man. Let's get those questions going, man.
All right, Eddie, we got a series of questions here. We call it the gauntlet here. So we're going to run you through the gauntlet. It's just quick, rapid-fire questions. Just answer with the first thing that pops to mind.
Cool.
What's been one of your proudest moments?
Proudest moments? Being a father, man.
Nice. How many kids do you have?
I have two. They're grown now. So now I don't like them anymore.
What's your favorite drink?
My favorite drink, man. As far as alcohol or?
Yeah, man. I mean, we'll take that. No, we'll take one of each.
I'm a tequila man.
A tequila man, eh?
Yes.
I guess that's your favorite shot, too?
What type of tequila?
I like Jose Cuervo.
Jose Cuervo. Oh.
What's a good...
That makes me black out.
Or puke in panty drawers,
start,
man.
They start throwing up in panty drawers.
What's a good tequila mixed drink? I feel like there's not...
there's no such thing, man. Is there such a thing?
I don't think there really is. I mean, unless you're making a margarita, but I'm not much on like the fruity
or bulldog,
stuff.
Maybe a bulldog.
Isn't that a margarita just with Corona?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Oh, fuck. I like fucking with margaritas, man, I'll tell you that. What's a guilty pleasure song of yours?
A guilty pleasure song of mine. Jeez.
Can I answer this for him? It's a 50 Cent track.
No, it's got to be one that, like, his face turns red when, like, someone catches him singing this.
Oh. You know what sucks, man? Because I'm like an 80s child, man. So, you know, it's, I guess, Dirk Commissar, I guess what it is. I'm trying to think who sings it. And it's weird because it's sung in German or something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, just give us a few bars of that, then.
What about you, B? What's your track?
Guilty pleasure?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I can't name shit off the top of my head like that.
Oh, right? Man.
What about you?
I got to hit the shuffle, and if it comes on, you know, then you do what you got to do.
What about you, Bell?
Oh, I'm on my Bieber right now, man.
Bieber? Mine's New Kids on the Block, Step by Step.
Step by Step.
Step by Step, New Kids on the Block. Let's hit it.
Oh,
jeez.
Literally, jeez, there it is.
Okay, Fred or Barney, Eddie? Fred or Barney?
Fred or Barney? Fred. Fred Flintstone.
Cut off your fingers or two of a stranger?
Oh man, if we're talking about serial killer, then someone's got to go. Someone's fingers are missing, man. Someone's got
to go. All right,
can't do anything, man.
If you were given a hall pass, would you use it?
Nah, I keep it. And then sell it to someone else. And use it.
I'd buy it. A-Rod or Piazza? No, Jeter or Mike Piazza?
Oh, I'm Piazza, man.
There we go. Just testing you.
What's a celebrity crush you had growing up?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis, really? Eh?
I think she's still hot.
Nice.
What do you think about Diddy getting involved here and trying to buy the Carolina Panthers?
You know what, man? Hey, listen, man, more props to you, man. I mean, it just sucks again. It's just people with millions, man. They don't know what the fuck to do with it, man. It's like, yo, just buy some of my books, man.
Yeah, no shit.
You heard that,
yeah.
Diddy.
Buy my shirt, too.
Put that quantity to 1,000 on Amazon.
I'll give you a coupon code.
What's one thing you would never do?
One thing I would never do. Oh, no. Oh, thing I would never do. Maybe, I don't know, streak? Unless I get drunk enough, man. Then everything is, you know, it's all open then.
What about you, Bill?
One thing I would never do, snitch.
Yeah, right.
Good one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Snitch win in 2017? Because you've already done that numerous times. Next question.
You got me all twisted up now, man. If you could feed one person to an alligator, who would it be?
Jeter.
It's got to be Donald Trump, man.
No, it's got to be Jeter.
It's got to be Trump.
He said Jeter. I don't know, man. There's several people on the list at my job, man. I think they all should go.
There you go. There you go.
Nice.
Especially this one. She calls herself a doctor, but she's a physician assistant, man. Yes, doctor.
I love that.
Yes, doctor plastered on a fucking Porsche Cayenne, man.
Are you serious right now? That's the funniest thing ever. Are you joking? Oh my goodness.
You can go quick.
Yo, can you take a picture of that for us so we can like just blast that on our my Instagram, please.
Next time you get in there, please take a picture of that.
My Instagram followers are just filled with a bunch of haters, so I'm willing to post that up and we all hate. What else we got? Last one.
Okay, can't use that one. I'll get him in trouble with his wife. Okay, let's do this one then.
I kind of want to hear this one.
Rewind. What's the most romantic thing you've ever done?
You know what? When I got married, anniversary, I actually, so we had this particular song that we danced to at the wedding. And on the anniversary, I actually brought my wife back to the reception hall. And we were just alone in the scene. You know, I just played it off like, I just wanted to, you know, come by and say something to someone real quick. And I actually had the tape and I popped in the cassette and I played the same song that we danced to at our wedding. And, you know, it was just us two in the room by ourselves dancing.
That's amazing.
That's really balling. What was the song?
Now, I don't want to kill it here. Was it Mobb Deep track?
You know what? It's not, now that I can't even remember the it's actually Force MDs, I believe that. I'm trying to think of the song. I know it's Force MD's. It's a slow song too.
Oh, okay. Okay, nice, man. That's actually very good, man.
Tender Love. Force MD's Tender Love.
Mad props to you, man, on that.
Yeah,
getting some ideas over you.
Am I getting some ideas?
After that.
No. Man. I'm gonna.
Not being romantic.
I'm gonna do the same thing, but play my cassette tape of Hell on Earth. And put that in track. Blast
some
that.
Some Marilyn Manson or something.
Yeah, some Mobb Deep Hell on Earth, man. Nice, man. Nice. So for one last time, could you just do a little plug and where could people follow you and, you know, where could they purchase your books? Because I know I'm definitely going to get one. I know Bell and B are going to get one, as well as the doc who's not here. He's on paternity leave. He's not here, so he's
going
to... Yeah, he's going to get one as well. So just give us a little plug here before we kind of do a little send-off.
Definitely, man. So the book is Hispanicus, The Apostate Life of Antonio Pintero. It's available on Amazon, print, or you can directly from by your publisher, PrintHouseBooks.com. They can also get it on Barnes & Noble online. And I'm actually active on Twitter at Eddie C. Author.
Very nice. Nice. We got to definitely follow you on that one. Thank you, man, for giving us some time for, you know, ending 2017, man. We've had a blast. Definitely would love for you to come back on to the show, you know, speak some more stuff. And, yeah, thank you so much for the evening, my friend.
Thanks, appreciate man. It, man. Thank you, guys, man. Keep drinking.
You know we will. Have a good end to the year, bud.
You too, guys. Thanks a lot, man.
Cheers.
All right. Thanks so much, Eddie.
This is the Thirst World Problems Podcast, featuring our resident humanitarian, my man, B.
Don't be sexist, man.
Okay, guy. Have you listened to any of the podcast?
Include women, man. Guys could be ugly. Girls could be ugly, too, man. You know that shit. Day-to-day life, bud.
I can see that, man. You got a little Stephen A in you, man.
I got a great hairline. I ain't no Stephen A. I ain't no Stephen A. I ain't no LeBron. I ain't no fucking
pumping
shit.
Pumping your own tires.
I'm just fucking Shadu Khan, bitch.
Remember? Like Stephen A once said that...
quote that on that fucking...
quote that
make
on.
That a drop for me. For me. Yeah. For me.
I ain't Stephen A. I ain't LeBron, but I'm fucking Shadu Khan.
Stephen A once said that he could get him... that he would have gotten or convicted OJ if he was handling that trial instead of like... which is like Marsha Clarker.
Well, common sense says he did it. Right? So he's using common sense, fuck.
I feel bad for OJ, man.
You should feel bad for OJ. Guy's a national treasure. And not ours,
like,
luckily.
Feel bad
but
for him?
I feel bad for him now.
He's a fucking murderer, bro.
He's not.
He's not, man.
Was not
in the eyes
guilty.
Of law, he's not. In the eyes of law, he's not.
Isn't that
anyone,
all that matters?
Does anyone with common sense know he did it? Yeah.
Not a jury of his peers.
Perfect. In the eyes of the law.
Say that to a black person.
That's the problem right there. It doesn't matter if he's right or wrong. It doesn't matter if he did it or not did it. You're just looking at if he did it in the eyes of the law.
Okay, but I'm talking about now, man. Like, he got fucking, like, how many years? 10 years? Because he tried to get his jersey back or some shit?
Oh, yeah. That shit's ridiculous.
Come on, man.
Mandatory minimums?
You think that's ridiculous? That is ridiculous,
mandatory
man.
Minimums, man.
Think about that, man. You tried to... Bell, let's say you tried to get your jersey back, okay? The jersey that you never washed. Oh, sorry. Are we talking about my jersey? We're talking about yours.
I think we're talking about
probably
your
mine.
Smelly jersey.
Yeah, I've never washed that jersey in ages. Fuck. But let's say you tried to get your jersey back or your championship ring, right?
See, that's the thing. We never would have a championship ring. But yeah, I understand. I understand you're talking
and
about
and you get
something
10 years for
value.
Taking that back.
Okay,
that's
mean,
something that they took from you.
There's ways to approach that. But like my other thing is like, you know what? Like, yeah, you didn't have to kidnap anyone. You didn't have to have a gun, all that kind of stuff. Whatever. I mean, here's the other thing about it. Like, if you're O.J. Simpson, you don't think you can make a call to someone being like, you know what? I need a replica jersey, but it's got to be super authentic. And, like, you just call up, like, you know, the teams you used to play for being like, I need another jersey. Could you hook that up? Talk to some of the other people you've been in contact with. Like, what is it?
Yeah, but his mind's crazy, man. Dude's a murderer.
He's not even alleged.
He fucking thinks of a jersey and he only fucking imagines his fucking someone in it and he wants to kill him. That's why he fucking went for 10 years more in jail.
Well, he didn't kill him. He just kidnapped them or held them.
And what happens after
something?
You kidnap someone and you're fucking already a murderer?
Well, no.
You fucking murder them.
Hey, if they give that jersey back, they can walk. If they don't, well, sometimes, look at my man Eddie, man. Sometimes you got to handle your biz, right? What do you think Mike Suski would have done in that situation?
I don't know. Fucking one-armed bat.
Okay.
That's my dilemma,
I guess we'll edit that.
That's the dilemma of my 2017, man. I have a question for you. We'll edit that part. I have a question for you.
No, I hope we do.
I have a question. Okay, let's start. Okay, I have a question for you guys. Do you guys have like a warm up before you guys come and record? Do you guys do something like what's the
term? Like a ritual?
Ritual, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Grab like a junior chicken?
Huh?
They grab like a junior chicken or like
is that your ritual?
What the hell is with the fucking McDonald's not having any apple pies ever?
What do you mean?
I've gone like three times, twice with you, trying to snag some apple pies, and these guys never have apple pies. Why are you telling me you sell apple pies at your store if you're never going to have them ready?
You know how many horny people there are in this area?
like they're aphrodisiacs?
Yeah, man.
Is that why there's you can't find apple pie?
That's why there's apple pie shortage.
Did you know that, B?
No.
You never watched American Pie?
I thought they put you to sleep.
Once that movie American Pie came out, that's it, man.
Freaks came out.
Apple pie stock went through the roof, man.
Do kids even know what that movie is? Like, would you know what that reference?
B, you know what a fucking American Pie is?
As you know, yeah.
That girl was hot, man, in that movie.
Do you remember her name?
Shannon Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Shannon Elizabeth?
This guy's been on Google Images.
Yeah, every night.
No, kidding. On Google Images.
Yeah, like, every night for the past 20 years of my life.
He's been picking the size, thinking, fucking picking 1080p, 4K, oh,
yeah.
Everything.
I fucking
buy all the apple pies from McDonald's.
Yeah.
I converted to 8K now. Fuck.
He's putting it as his desktop background.
Yeah,
everything.
It's my fucking GIF. No. Do you guys have a ritual before you guys come?
Mainly just trying to test out, make sure all the connections are working.
That's a ritual?
Put out a few more questions. Oh, okay. Just get ready.
That's not really a ritual. That's just a sound check.
Well, basically, I want to start having a shot of our brand new Thirst World Problem. I can't.
This guy's too deep in his cup.
Oh, wow. I'm deep in my cup. Right after. I don't even know what I'm saying. I want to start taking a shot of.
What the fuck are you saying right now? I just asked you a simple question.
Yo, this shit's not being cut, though.
This guy's tongue is like fucking.
Dude, man, yeah.
Chopped out.
Oh, my God.
You want to answer that properly or what?
What I want to do before the show is start taking a shot out of our brand new personalized Thirst World Problems podcast shot glasses.
Woo! You tried to say that? That's so easy, man.
Hey, let's hear you say it.
My ritual? My ritual is we'd love to take a nice, beautiful shot out of our brand new shot glasses at Thirst World Problems shot. Check it out on our.
That shit's so easy. That shit's so easy.
How many times did I say shot? Now your turn, B. Let's see it. Let's see if you can see it.
My ritual before recording is us taking a shot out of our new Thirst World Problems shot glasses.
See, man, how hard is closer. That? I said it no problem. He said it no problem.
You didn't say no problem,
that,
man.
How hard is that? Fuck. You know what I do? I watch fucking Night at the Roxbury before if I'm not doing anything else. If I know I'm like coming from my house to there, I'll watch Night at the Roxbury.
Every time?
I love that fucking movie.
How many times have you seen Night at the Roxbury?
I've seen Night at the Roxbury.
You saw it like 20 times this month? Then.
Oh, yeah. I love Night at the Roxbury. That's my fucking, like, that's, you know, do you have like a movie that like you just like, I have to put this on. It's just like your background, but you just love this movie so much.
Oh, Dead Man on Campus, 10 Things I Hate About You. If it's going to be a longer time kind of thing.
I don't know movies like that. Man.
Long Kiss Goodnight. Oh, I used to be big in the rom-coms, man. I love
rom-coms? What's that?
They're teen romantic comedies.
Oh, okay.
Or like teen bop movies, man.
Teen bop?
Teen bop. Like, She's All That.
Yeah,
and, like,
Save the Last Dance.
Yeah. Oh,
I think,
shit.
I think Save the... Okay, can I talk about Save the Last Dance?
Depends what you're going to say about it, man.
I feel like Save the Last Dance just changed the world when it came to interracial dating.
Big time. Big time.
That's why you see so Big many time. Mixed babies now, because of Save the Last Dance.
Partially, I mean.
Partially, fully.
I won't go say fully. I won't say fully.
Everyone was like, hey, you can do that? Fuck, I'm going to do that. No?
I'll give you it definitely played a large role in like bringing it to the mainstream anyways. Especially
Batgirl's
when you talk
ugly
about
as fuck though.
Julia Stiles, you watch her mouth.
She's ugly as
no,
fuck.
No, she is
you
not.
You watch her mouth.
Dude, she is not.
Julia Stiles?
She's just an everyday classy dame.
Name another movie that she was in.
10 Things I Hate About You.
Name another movie.
Oh.
What the fuck's Oh?
This guy was on Google Images.
That was like the teen bop remake of
That's
Othello.
Oprah's magazine.
Of Othello. Like, you know, the Shakespeare stuff?
A teen bop Othello?
Basic.
Get the fuck out of here.
Listen, listen.
Get the
you'll
fuck
appreciate
out of here,
this.
Man.
It was interracial again.
Who was there?
That's what she
50 Cent?
No.
Who the fuck was the guy?
You know the guy. He played 8 Mile. Mekhi Phifer. That's his name.
Get the fuck.
Julia Stiles back in the
this
day.
This guy knows, man. This guy knows his shit, man. All you better believe him.
She
right
went
now.
On a stint where it was all, like, interracial.
The greatest. The greatest
interracial movie of all time.
What'd you call it? Teen Bop?
Teen Bop.
Teen Bop movie is fucking American Pie, man. That's where everyone. That's where the creation of MILF came from.
Yeah, that's more. That's more like. That's more.
Can you
like,
say Harold and Kumar is part of that?
No. See, like I'm going to say that's more.
I love
like,
Harold
that's more
and Kumar.
Like,
yeah, love it.
I love that.
Yeah. Of course. Oh, look, you too. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? That's what you're trying to angle to earlier, right? But I wouldn't give you the satisfaction of saying that. We were talking about, oh, yeah, and then Eddie's like, yeah, you probably play like a stoner. You're like, yeah, you know, silly stoner guy.
I could play a good stoner, even though I've never fucking like, smoked in my life.
You just want to get typecast into the Harold and Kumar role?
What do you mean, man?
You know exactly what I mean. I just said it. What do you mean?
You're relating me to fucking Cal Penn?
Wait, which one's Cal Penn?
He's Harold. Or, sorry, he's Kumar. Obviously, Kumar, yeah. He's the Indian guy.
Yeah, oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I'm saying that, like, that's not what you want. You don't want to just be typecast into, like, the Indian stoner silly goofball role.
Hey, if I got a role in, like, a major movie, I don't care what the fuck it is. Would you take it?
Oh, yeah.
Would you take it?
Well, in our lives, I guess, but like if you're talking about being like a respected actor or comedian,
that's how you get somewhere. You got to take your dues, right?
Hey, listen, I just didn't want you guys to live the same life as me, but yeah, I'm willing to sell out the moment we get a chance. If that's all we're talking about here. That's your dream is to just get typecast. Why don't you go in that?
Look at that Mexican.
Why don't you go on Russell Peters' show then?
Look at that Mexican dude,
the
man.
The Indian detective.
Look at that Mexican dude. He's always the fucking gangster in every movie. The bald headed guy. The bald-headed guy. You know what I'm talking about?
Machete?
No, the other guy. He's bald-headed. He's always in, like, every fucking,
he's
like...
bald-headed.
He's always in, like... He's known for, like, being, like, Gangster One or some shit. Like, I have him on Instagram, and, like, there's a list. It shows, that like, this past, like, 10 movies. It's, like, gangster, gang leader. He's always in that role.
Really?
Latino gangster. Like, just typical guy. He was in Training Day. He was in all these other movies, man. Yeah, but like, if you got typecasted and you got to play the same role for the next like 15 years of your life and you got paid good, wouldn't you do it?
Right, because it's easy, right?
It's easy, man. You know that role. Yeah, I can do this role, no problem. Script? Who needs a script, right?
It's all I do.
But yeah, what was I getting at? what was I saying?
See, this is my favorite part of the night, man. When we just get deep in our cups here and then it's just free flowing and it makes. Absolutely no sense.
Yeah, Night at the Roxbury, man. I love that movie.
Night at the Rock. So do you like go back and like watch the skits too, like on Saturday Night Live?
On
YouTube and stuff. Like you watch those before you watch the movie?
No, man.
You just hop right in.
You know what I'm gonna do when I go home after this? I wanna watch Gone in 60 Seconds. I love that movie, man.
What the hell?
Gone in 60 Seconds?
You're craving watching that right now?
I love that's my favorite, like whatever you want to call it, action movie.
Nicolas Cage movie.
I don't like Nick Cage, but I just love that movie.
Have you seen The Rock?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And you like Gone in 60 Seconds better?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love Gone in 60 Seconds. I think it's a great movie. Just the way it was filmed, it was great.
What do you think of the John Wick movies?
A little over the top, but John Wick's pretty dope. But think about that. You go to the executive and be like, hey, I have a movie called John Wick. So it all starts off that I'm a retired like hitman, and my wife passed away, and these guys come and kill my dog that I just got, and that's it. I'm gonna go kill everyone. Like that's pretty much it. But yeah, think about that concept. Yeah, let's do the green light of it. Let's get Keanu Reeves on there.
Oh, I thought it was Keanu doing the pitch.
No. You know what's crazy, though? Like, I always, like, thought, like, what if... You know how there's always, like, hey, this guy could have had this role, but he decided to not take it?
Yeah.
Like, think about, like, those people actually taking those roles. Do you think those movies would totally change? Now that... But, like, even though we know, like, this is...
It's all the visuals, man.
For sure it would.
So, like, for example...
It's been the characters put on it.
Like, I'll give you an example. Like, Will Smith was known to be in The Matrix. He was supposed to take Keanu Reeves' role. Like, things like that. Like, a major movie like that. Because The Matrix did revolutionize CGI.
See, that's the thing. Like, if it's known for something else...
I'm not talking about the small stuff. Like, the big stuff,
right. Like, the special effects in that movie was huge, right? Like, so many people just went to see the special effects.
Right.
So even then, like, it probably could have been any slightly charismatic... lead could have probably carried that movie into a series regardless, right?
But what I'm trying to get at is like, would someone like Will Smith, would you be like, hey, I'm really into this movie compared to the way Keanu Reeves, just because he was like,
you think he sold it.
But he was just so blunt, like, hey, like, yeah.
I think it would have been different, maybe in a different type of genre of a movie. With action movies, it's probably the easiest for like to interchange potential actors. But like, I don't know, like getting rid of like Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson and a few good men and replacing them with like.
So like, I'll give you another example. Like let's think of like Thor. Tom, what's his name? Tom, who's Loki? Tom Hiddleston? You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yeah.
He auditioned to be Thor. There's videos of it. Those are the blonde hair and everything like that. What if he had that role? Do you think that would be like, okay, this is kind of weird? Or would he be like, I don't really see him as a Thor? Do you think that we're programmed? We're like, okay, well, he's Thor, so we know him as Thor now, right?
Depends on how much as it changes, right? If it keeps changing the guy, then it's like, isn't Thor that we know.
No, but what I'm trying to get at is the original, like, he auditioned for it. So let's say he got the role instead of...
I don't think it would be different, man.
You wouldn't
be
different, eh?
Because the character is still the same.
And it's programmed, okay,
it's
this is supposed to be Thor.
Yeah, that's supposed to be
That's
Thor.
What I'm trying to get at.
So we know that person as Thor, but right. it doesn't... I don't think it really changes.
Right.
Maybe slight things. I'm not going to say nothing. Because a certain way you look, you see someone's like
you could
face, or like you like make things up about them in terms of you can see them the first time.
Right.
Those things will probably change, but I think overall probably it'd be
like, would you ever think like, you know what, maybe he's not the best?
Well, no, because you have nothing else.
Well, that's my biggest thing though, is like physique for that kind of role, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that dude, and I couldn't really name him in any other type movies or whatever, but like. He doesn't have a very imposing physique associate with Thor. Maybe he was going to get jacked for that role, though.
Right.
And maybe he'd be walking around super jacked right now or whatever.
Right.
But, like, I mean, even him standing side by side with, I don't know, whoever the blonde kid that's doing it now, it's kind of like, he seems like
what's
a regular
his name?
Dude.
Chris Hemsworth? Chris
yes,
Hemsworth.
That's it.
Yeah.
He seems like, or isn't that...
Chris Hemsworth is him.
Captain America? No,
that's Chris Evans.
Oh, all right, good. You know you're.
I know my Marvel.
You're blonde
man.
Chris's here.
I know my Chris's. Man.
Well, that's kind of why I like James Bond movies and like that whole series, is because like every so often like they throw someone else in there, right? So you've got to see like 12 different actors play James Bond, and you can be like, oh,
but they. But do you know what it is though? It's not just hey, we're gonna get a different new James Bond. They get the title of that name.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's MI5, right? MI6, sorry. MI6.
No, it's not Mission Impossible. I don't
know. No. Whatever. MI whatever, right? No, it's 007. What are we talking about? It's fucking 007.
But doesn't he work for whatever? The British intelligence?
But it's 007. When you get that role, apparently from what I've been told, this is the story that my dad was telling me. He goes, the original book and everything, he goes, when you get that role as 007, they change your name to James Bond.
No, that's not a real thing.
I that's what I've been told, man.
You're telling me Daniel Craig is legally named James Bond right now? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's the actor, man.
The actor.
No, you clown. The actor. I'm talking about in the movie, man. What? I'm talking about in the movies.
Yeah, well, isn't that already known, though? Isn't that already known, though, that you're James Bond if you're James Bond?
No, what I'm trying to get at is... So confused. What I'm trying to get at is that, let's say you're an agent, right? In the MI field, okay? And they give you that role as 007. Your code name is 007, but it's James Bond. Like, you get that title as James Bond.
Yeah, because you are James. You're the actor.
I'm not talking about the actor part. I'm not talking about the actor part. I'm not talking about the role that they're getting. I'm talking about the world, that 007 world.
What are you talking about?
Okay, so let's say, for example, let's say we're in the field of agencies, right?
Okay.
I'm 001, you're 002, you're 003, okay?
Yeah.
So let's say you get promoted B, okay? So there's rankings of it. Sorry, I should get higher. We're like 10, we're like 13, 12, 11, right? And the rankings that you get lower, you get the title as James Bond. That's your code name, James Bond.
Are you telling me this in the real world, like in the UK and in like
this is a fictional character.
Okay, now you're fucking with my brain right now.
James Bond's a fictional character.
Yes, I know. Yeah. He's a fictional character.
But what I'm trying to say is, in that world, that fictional world, whoever gets the title of 007, their name is James Bond.
Yeah, because they're the actor in the movie.
So for example, with the Daniel Craig stuff, right?
Yeah.
He just got the role of James Bond. That's why he was trying to learn to become the agent.
Are you having a stroke right now? So listen, try to make me understand this.
Right now.
So like Batman, right?
No, nothing to do with Batman.
No, but he's giving an analogy.
Yeah. So Batman. So when who's the guy who flipped?
So I'll give you a perfect example right now. So in the comics for Captain America, okay? There was Captain America, right? The original?
Yeah.
Captain America died, right? The Winter Soldier took over the role as Captain America.
Okay.
So he was known as Captain America.
Okay.
Then the Winter Soldier, whatever happened to him. Then there was the Falcon. The Falcon now has the role of Captain America. So he is known as Captain America. That's literally equivalent
to
being...
back and Falcon's back to being Falcon. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
So the Falcon has the role of being Captain America. So what I'm saying is that person is the name of James Bond. In that fictional world.
Why are we talking about the... I don't understand. I'm still lost.
Yeah, why are we talking fictional world? Because if there's a change... if there's a change...
Nothing, no, I'm not talking
but if
about
there's
the...
A, yeah,
no,
but...
You
yeah.
guys, I know what you guys are trying to say.
If one talking, guy's James Bond, and now a couple years after, now this guy's James Bond, no shit, his name's James Bond. He's playing James Bond.
No. You guys are not getting what I'm saying, man.
No, that's why I asked you to have a stroke.
I know.
Is that where I'm at?
Is that
what you're thinking? Exactly what I just said?
Like, I know what you guys are talking about.
The only thing I can think about is what you're trying to tell us that your dad told you.
Is common sense.
Is that, well, yeah, but otherwise what you're saying is in the real world.
Yes.
In the real world, once an actor takes over the James Bond persona, their name, like out of some ceremony, gets
put in.
What are you evil, man?
No, nothing like that.
What are you talking
Listen to
about,
what I'm saying.
Man.
Okay, wait. As you're explaining it, you got to separate what you're saying, though.
Okay.
Because you're just saying the actor is James Bond, which is
shit.
This has been a 40-minute conversation.
I'm going to try to break this down. I can't break this down on the James Bond role, but I can break it down in the superhero world, okay?
Wait, why can't you do it in the James Bond? That's what you're explaining.
Because I tried to do it, and I'm going to try to see if you guys can relate it with the superhero. So let's say there's a...
Iron Man.
Okay, Iron Man, for example. Perfect example, Iron Man, okay? So Iron Man dies. Okay.
Okay.
Let's say Tony Stark dies.
Okay.
The character Tony Stark dies.
Yes.
Because he's known as Iron Man. Okay.
Yeah.
So Tony Stark had a child who was like mixed.
Sure.
Okay. No, this is legit.
Oh, okay.
Tony Stark had a child who was mixed. I guess they didn't know. So she took the title of Iron Man.
Okay.
But they're, I guess, still considered Iron Man. So she has the suit and everything.
Yeah.
Totally different person. But now she's called Iron Man, though.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, when there's a role of James Bond, I'm not saying that the actor turns into James Bond. He's not getting hey, we're classifying you as James Bond. I'm saying in the world, in that agency, they get told, okay, you're 007, your code name is James Bond. You're going now by James Bond. Whatever you've been told before, whatever your agency name was before, no longer exists. You're now by the name of James Bond
007. That's not how that universe works.
That's exactly from what I've been told.
No. That's not how that universe works. Like,
and that's what I've been trying to explain.
Okay. That's like an old wives' tale, like that your dad told you or whatever. Like, no, what's supposed to be happening is the character is continuing on all those adventures. It's the same guy. They've replaced the actors over the years just for like a reboot or.
I don't think so, man.
It is 100%. I'm telling you. What's that lady told you? Like, I bet you $10 million.
No,
you
I
don't
said,
even have $10 million.
No,
man.
I said I'd bet you $10 million.
Yeah, right.
You don't even have $10 million. How can you bet me on
Neither
that?
Neither do you, so I'm right.
So well, you're betting me that. Why are you betting me that?
That's how it works, man.
Ask me that question.
that's the canon. It's not these new agents.
So how can you explain these different characters? It just doesn't work then.
Well, there's not that much continuity between this. What it is, it's like just like how it happens sometimes in television shows or whatever. Just like think of Fresh Prince when like there was a new Aunt Viv, like.
Yeah, but that's totally different. That's
that's
has
not
to,
totally different.
I don't,
that has to do with executive.
I understand what you're saying is totally different, but I don't get your part of what you're saying at all.
What he's saying is that James Bond isn't an ongoing character.
James Bond
what
isn't a person. It's the title,
it's
your code name that you get.
It's not an ongoing person.
So, like, for example, I'll give you another thing.
Like,
so,
Roger Moore and Sean Connery, when they were playing James Bond, they were two different agents who just assumed the James Bond role.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's not how that universe
I don't
works.
Know, man. I believe it, man.
I know you believe it.
Because the
you
characters
came on here for 40 minutes and tried to because,
yeah, but people
something.
Also believe fucking
but the characters are so different throughout the
Bigfoot's
years.
Real fucking.
That's
the interesting thing about
but
it.
But why aren't the characters the same? Why don't they act the same then?
They act the same.
No,
like
they don't, man.
They do. Like, they're all... Like,
look
at... Puts their
look
own
at
spin
they,
on them.
They act the same, but it could go back to the point where you were saying where do certain actors change the perception of
that's
the character?
That's exactly it, and that's
right?
why they change
and,
it.
And you said that... Wait, what did he say? Did he say they do or they don't?
Said that they do. But, I mean, like, you're putting... They're putting their own spin on the
but
character,
but I
kind of
get what
right?
he's getting now, though. Now it's kind of... That's kind of changing a little bit, but...
So
no,
another
but
example.
That's not how the universe
I'm
works,
gonna give you another superhero example.
What do you mean, a universe man?
No.
I'll give you another superhero example, right?
No, so, I know. Exactly
so
what
for
you're
Thor,
saying.
Thor dies, right? So now there's this girl that takes the hammer.
Thor just got on. You're giving people wrong information here. Thor became unworthy of wielding the hammer.
So he's dead.
He's not dead, no.
When you're unworthy, you're fucking dead.
He's still around. He's got his own comic.
No, you're doing shit, man. When you lose that power of being
he's
a thunder...
He's still a god.
When you're a god of thunder and you lose that power, you're fucked, man.
Well,
you're just
a
fucking
god.
Scavenger,
he's
man.
He's a regular god.
You're just a fucking scavenger,
dudes.
Man.
Anyways, now you're totally nerding out.
But I am nerding on her.
I see what you're saying.
But I mean, so if she takes the hammer... She's fucking
she gets
Thor,
the
man.
The title of Thor, yes.
Exactly. So that person gets the title of James Bond 007.
That could be an explanation.
As a different character.
Something.
I totally
or
see
that,
it.
Or
but
she
that's
just
not
the,
how
or
that
she
universe.
Just the hammer up.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's not how that's
what's
portrayed.
Where is your. Give me your.
It's
like,
all
prove it
online.
To me.
It's all online.
You gonna believe
it's
that?
Written in stories.
Go on fucking Facebook,
sessions.
Man. Look
story,
at this.
So both are myths. This is a myth versus myth.
Go to the prison.
No, it's not, though.
Go
you
look at the prison election,
support,
man. On fucking Facebook. That's a fucking lie, too. That's all fucking fake ads, man. You're going
to
give me fake ads, too.
Fake news.
Yeah, that's fake news that you're giving me, man. Have you ever been to Scotland? Enough said, man.
Why Scotland?
That's where James Bond's originally from, man.
Originally from?
Yeah.
Okay, where does he work?
He's an agent. All right, what else? Hey, actually, speaking of movies here, how do you feel about that Will Smith movie? Did you guys watch that new Will Smith movie?
No.
Bright, baby, bright.
Bright?
No, I haven't seen it.
Shine bright like a diamond.
I'm shocked by that movie.
Do tell us.
Bright?
Yeah. Should I watch that tonight? Should I watch Bright?
You should watch Bright.
Isn't it in theaters right now?
No, it's on Netflix, man.
Oh,
it's
shit.
On, that's,
no.
the, that's the one that, like,
it's the Will Smith
like
one
$90 million to shoot. Every critic was like, this is shit, this is shit, this is shit.
Wait, what was it? Like, what's
it's
I
like
don't
he's
know
a cop, yeah. And he lives in a world with, like, orcs and elves. And
and they're
stuff
cops,
like
too, and shit.
So
like,
it's
like normal society, right?
Yeah.
But, like, you live with, like, so your partner...
So
let's
you're
say,
a human, but other people could be fucking.
Yeah,
shit.
So you could be in like you could be in school right now, and there could be like orcs and shit studying with
fucking
you and shit.
Grinch could be beside me.
Grinch, yeah. Grinch could be beside you. This chick, yeah, exactly.
So they put tons of money. Like it's supposed to be a Netflix blockbuster. So they put like $90 million behind it, and they put this out, and critics everywhere have been trashing this movie, and everyone else was like, I don't care, man. Like, let's go see what this is all about. And it's been getting positive responses from the actual audience that's been watching it. And they've said that they, like, how many views they had. So, I mean, these are Netflix numbers, but they said, like, 11 million in 3 days. Like, which is, to put that in context, the premiere of Stranger Things, which is, like you know,
the
big time,
ever, yeah.
had 15 million.
So my like from I never watched it yet. I'll watch it maybe tonight. I'll maybe get rid of Gone in 60 Seconds and watch that. Instead. But like from what I saw was I saw an article that says they're doing a sequel to it already. So once it gets greenlit a sequel already, I already assume that okay, well it may be bad, but it's probably doing good numbers already. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like that could be anything, like any movie. So let's say for example, like Justice League. Justice yep. League, poor reviews, but it did great numbers. So obviously they're doing, you know, something yeah. else to it. It's all about the numbers. Who cares what people...
See, but here's the thing, though, with that. It's like, especially with Netflix movies and where it gets sketchy is Netflix has a chance to, like, just build their own hype, right?
Right, right.
And then people hop on the hype train just like, you know, like if you've got, like, social media account or whatever and, like, you have, like, 5 followers and you're putting out the same content, it doesn't carry the same weight as if you have 50 million followers or whatever. Right, people are like, oh, 50 million must be...
Netflix has everything, right?
Right. Yeah. But so Netflix... They're the only ones who actually know the true numbers.
Right, right, exactly.
Right? So, like, that's all internal or whatever. So, it's, like, they could be like, oh, look, it's doing super awesome. Greenlit the second one. You're going to be like, okay, well, fuck, I'm going to watch this because it already got the sequel coming out, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, that being said, like, how do you feel about, you know, these movies? You know how we always feel like, oh, this is straight to DVD or straight to direct download? We always think that's, like, the B-rated movie, indie movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now that these movies are coming out, do you feel like that there's going to be a change coming very soon? That movie theaters are going to be gone? That, you know, that whole, hey, we're going to go watch a movie.
I don't think a movie theater will ever be gone, to be honest.
I don't know, man. You look at TV now, man. Like,
I think I kind of agree with B here because I think what it is now is movie theaters have to start doing something different, right? So they kind of started with, like, the D-box seats, right? The VIP seats.
Yeah, have you ever used a D-box seat?
I have used one once.
Okay.
I hate it.
Be honest with you. How do you feel about it? I'll never use it.
It was super cool for like the first half hour, man.
What's super cool is the space, right? But
then I got
like, why can I not shut it down? It's low, medium, or high. I want to shut it down. Give me the leg room. Give me the arm room. I want to be shaking, man.
Have you done the one with like the atmosphere? Where it's like you know, like if a plane crashes into water or something, they get sprayed with a mist, or if it's hot, like then you get hit with a heat wave.
It's like a 4D thing.
We have that here.
I think we have a couple.
Apparently, you can do that like on your PC, like Oculus. You can do that. Okay. Like you can do that. Like there's like a box that has the sense of smell. Yeah.
So I think
you can smell like the fucking wildlife and shit like that.
So I think that's where movies are going to.
I don't like that, man.
Well, the regular movies, what's going to happen, especially with things like Netflix, especially with all these kids coming up.
Give me a reel-to-reel, man. I'm good.
You're used to getting things streamed to you, right? So whether or not it goes to theaters now necessarily isn't the way that a lot of people are consuming their media anyways. So that takes away that stigma of being like, oh, it's straight to DVD because it went straight to Netflix. But you're like, yeah, I just download or stream my movies anyways. So that's exactly how I want
to get
my movies.
That's just where it's changing to, right?
Right?
You can't apply that old thought to the new media, right? It's just...
Well, how do you feel that now...
It's like music when it was like... Sorry to interrupt, but it's like music like when it's like, oh, man, if you don't put out a CD, like an actual CD, then you're not really doing
anything,
right?
It's not doing
it,
yeah. Times have changed, obviously.
Talking about CDs, no one even buys them.
But so let's say, for example, like what if Disney, since they just bought 21st Century Fox, right? All this content...
Oh, you said the full name.
21st Century Fox.
Come with facts
now.
I
know, man. So you know they got like things like they own The Simpsons now. They own Avatar. They own all these.
That's crazy.
Superhero, X-Men. You know all the FX they own. You know all this shit, right? So they're gonna and they own Hulu now, right? So now that they have Hulu, they have their own on-demand kind of thing. So obviously their whole game plan is to get rid of everything that they have on Netflix and get their own, right? Obviously, they're going to change Hulu and call it probably Disney, whatever it is, right? But then now you have the Disney thing. So what if Disney started to do, hey, we're just going to put movies. We're going to just have movies on ours that you have to get on our thing.
Yeah.
If that changes, then that changes everything. Because Disney, without Disney making movies, really, like, honestly, like, you know...
It's the scope and the backing, right? It's not there as much as it normally is.
Right, exactly. How big of a hit is that going to take on movie theaters? And, you know, on-demand is serious now, man. Like, think about how much on... Even with, like, sports, man. Like, so let's say, for example, let's say you want to watch... let's say you want to watch, like, NBC or even shows, man. Like, NBC is probably going to have their own, you know, on-demand kind of thing or even ABC and stuff like that. I feel like there's going to be a box... That you have to get now very soon,
or a channel that you have to subscribe to.
So like so now you're looking at $5 per on demand on all that shit, right?
We live in Canada, man. You got pirates.
But you know what I mean, though? Yeah, I know I won't lie. I'm fucking pirate.
I mean, I would never.
They call me Pirates of the Caribbean, bitch. They call me Captain never. Jack Sparrow, bitch. But like, but like, you know what I mean, though? Like, I feel like that's the goal that people are doing. It's not even going to be, because a lot of people go with like, oh, you know, the ratings are so low and stuff like that. But who cares, man? People watch it on demand. You know,
see,
like
that was a lot of the
arguments. Ratings are so low in NFL. No, the ratings are not low. People stream, man. People, they don't count.
There's
stream.
Different ways. People there's are still ways. Watching. Yeah,
people are watching, but there's so many
the
different
TV
ways.
Ratings. Yeah, but yeah. And you can watch it anywhere, yeah. Right? Is a random pirate website that you've never heard the name of, and the name fucking keeps changing every single day because it keeps getting shut down. Are those streams being tracked?
Right.
Fuck
right.
No.
Right.
CBS is right. Because people aren't watching it that way. Maybe you want to be in your bed. Maybe you're doing it on your phone. Maybe whatever, right?
Right,
maybe
exactly.
You don't want to spend $200 a month for cable, right?
Right, exactly.
Whatever it might be. Those things don't count. So it doesn't matter. Yeah, if you say, oh, the ratings are down. Yeah, the ratings are down of what the ratings used to be.
Yeah.
But it's not the ratings anymore.
Right.
Like, this
I've
how
right.
Many people
and
watch.
I feel like those people who are, you know, definitely like, 50 and up that are in the executive world, I think they don't see, oh, you know what, our ratings,
that's exactly it. There's
our ratings are low, and they don't understand, hey, you know what, there's so many other ways that people are watching. There's probably way more people watching whatever the Patriots versus whatever.
Guy.
One way you can kind of link that to is like, even like that is like, even like say like legalization of shit, like say like weed, for example, right? Like that shit has been so like, everyone's been waiting for that to happen, but it's taken so long for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's because legislators like in Canada and the US, they're older people with older thoughts, right? Exactly
right.
Like the
right.
Ratings thing.
Right.
So it's like they maintain the status quo for so long, and that's kind of what it is. The ratings are still something that's harped upon and focused on so much, but there's going to be a time where that turns, just like we see it turning with other issues such as legalization or whatever it may be, right? So
like, well, look, I've paid the most I've ever paid in my life for football in like the last 2-3 years, where like I've got a package from like the NFL directly because I don't have cable and stuff like that, right? So that's money that's going directly,
it goes right direct,
like,
yeah,
right
exactly.
Directly in their pockets. I mean, like, that's what companies are going to prefer, is money getting directly to them without having to go through these other channels. Like, just imagine the NFL was like, yeah, we're done with like television money or whatever. It'd be interesting to see if they'd ever try this. We're done with television money from these other networks, which networks pay them so much money because they want access to the NFL. And the NFL just basically cut out the middleman and was like, if you want content, we've set up our own streaming channel. You guys have to get it from us.
Like, right? This is going to be like the most nerdiest thing I'm going to ever say. So like,
let's nerd out, nerd alert. We need a drop.
Yeah, give me a nerd drop. So, for example, I'm going to give you a WWE example, okay? So, they were kings of pay-per-views, right? Hey, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, order on pay-per-view, 50, 60, 70.
$59.99.
Yeah,
$59.99. WrestleMania, $79.
Get it in HD for $89.99, right? So, now, to them, they're like, well, why are we paying pay-per-view this cut?
Shut up, nerds. This episode
up, nerds.
Is over.
This episode
up,
nerds.
Everyone out there, thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems podcast. You can follow us on IG and Twitter, Thirst World Pod. Make sure you download our episodes on Google Play and iTunes. Thanks for listening. This episode is a wrap. Legion of Doom.
some breakneck speeds with my breakneck crew. With the fists of bass lines, we go breakneck you. See, we crack your pops locks and we drink nice booze. Then invade the icebox, watch us eat nice too. See, I'm about the same size, got the same style too. Don't be surprised when I slide with your brand new shoes. They call me Mr. Mr. Busy Monster. Son, you must be crazy if you want it with my roster. See, these kids are nice, but pass the mic and they'll cost ya. Play your dance, smooth time is money that'll cost ya. But if you keep your head down, we won't come across ya. I could be your bully or I could be your boss, huh? Cause I bring the friction. I bring the